Yeah. Chair. Honorable Gideon.
MBS.
We are expecting, my darling.
Okay.
Will you please call our next candidate? Okay, Chairperson, we are starting with our candidate, Mr. Sitake, here. All honorable members are here. You can start with your introduction.
Good evening. Welcome back, members. Good evening, Mr. Sitake, Chairperson.
What was she saying?
Who's the next candidate? Is it Mr. Sitake?
Yes, Mr. Sitake.
Thank you, Chairperson. Welcome, Mr. Sitake, to the interview for the NYDA board. My name is Marensha Gideon. I am the co-chairperson of the subcommittee, and I'm also the chairperson of the select committee on the health and social services. The chairperson of the subcommittee is Member Daba. I will hand over to the chair, the other side, to introduce all other members of the panel, as well as our technical team. Member, you can do the introduction.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good evening, Mr. Sitake. I told you that when I come in,
I can see.
You have 45 minutes with us. Honorable members are going to ask you questions. If maybe you didn't hear or understand what the question. Okay. You are free to ask the member again, so that you can get your question correctly. And then at the end of your interview, you can raise whether you want to ask at the panel any question. You are free to do so. And and then I will now hand over to honorable members to introduce themselves, starting from Mr. Mpiti.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. My name is Louis Olompiti, and I'm a member of this committee.
Enkosi Sihlalo, a very good evening, Mr. Sitake. My name is Sikile Masiko. I'm a member of this subcommittee.
Okay.
masifulise emhlonishwa ngumbulelo bharha lelungu lale committee na enkosi
babunjabule Malika?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mina ngu Audrey Malika, ilunga lale komiti.
Mamkaula?
Ngiyabonga sihlalo. Ngikubingelele mhlonishwa. Sikake mina umama uSibongile Khawula ilunga laleli komiti ngiyabonga.
Honorable Mgweba.
Thank you, Honorable Chairs, and good morning, Mr. Sikake. I'm Thelisa Mgweba, a member of this subcommittee.
Thelisa, ufuna ukuthi sicede ngo-1. Alright, good morning. Thank you very much, Honorable Maluleka. Hey, I'm going to start with Namasa. Next to me, Honorable Mpiti, is Dr. Tembe, our legal person from Parliament. And we have Nomvula Giba, Ms. Nomvula Giba, who's our committee, is the manager of the committee in Parliament.
Okay.
And then Uzuki, the one who was busy with your logistics. And then Ms. Nelitwa, who's our committee secretary? Feel free. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good evening, Mr. Sikake. I will ask you to tell us a bit more about yourself and also why you are interested in becoming a member of NYDJ. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Mr. Sikake, didn't hear anything, Honorable Chair?
Okay. Let me start again.
Yes.
Mr. Sikake, if you can tell us more about yourself, give us an introduction of who Mr. Sikake is and also why you are interested in becoming a board member of NYDA.
Okay, thanks very much to honorable members of the portfolio.
Which mic is working? Is the one on his table or the one on the...
Okay, it's not proper, né? Thank you very much. Okay. Greetings to honorable members. My name is Molaudi Sikake. I am an activist, a passionate lover of young people, an organizer, an academic in my own right. I have worked with young people across all the board, in literature, in civil society, in NGOs, and in many other political structures of young people. And I have worked on research and policy making institutions. I hail from Clermont, which is the theater of oppressed young people, who it is an area that is surrounded by an industrial area called New German. And in the process of my activism and me working with young people, I have been able to cultivate my research and policy-making capacities. And that is why I am capable enough to be in the board of the NYDA, because I have been on the ground working with, not for, and not on behalf of young people. I'm a writer as we speak. My two volumes are in the process of publication, which are going to be published this month, and I'm an art critique. So that's why I feel I am better positioned to be in the board of a National Youth Development Agency, because I have this vast experience. I have worked in research institutions and civil society formations. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I hear that in your introduction. Okay, we'll take hands, but I'll be the first one to ask you a question. What are the legislative gaps identified in the Act, and how they can be what? How can they be rescinded or be amended?
Basically, the National Youth Development Agency
or
Act.
Remedied. Yeah.
It can be, okay. Basically, the National Development Act speaks about mainstreaming youth development and making possible young people's access into the economy. But the question that we have has always been a challenge is that while access is necessary, it is not sufficient, and I will explain why. It is easy for young people to enter the labor market. Not particularly in the context in which there are inequalities. For example, women can enter the labor market, but there is always a question of the pay gap, which dogs the entire developmental trajectory. The other problem is that the National Youth Development Agency Act fails to factor young people who are not only entrepreneurs, but also young people who are in art and literature. And this is reflective in the reports of the National Youth Development Agency in terms of the funding strategy, where the art and literature sector is less funded compared to many other sectors. And that is where we need really to work on, so that we provide a comprehensive development a trajectory for the empowerment of young people.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Mpiti, Honorable Nchabeleng, Honorable Baga, Honorable Mamkaula, Honorable Malika.
How has the issue to be appointed as the board? How do you use the budget of the agency? And using the same tool of oversight, using the public finance management and as one of the issues? How do you see yourself? How do you see the board?
Okay, thanks. First and foremost, public finances are very important, and they must be used in such a way that they are responsive to the priorities and programs that are outlined. One of the things that I will mention, two things that will have to be a priority, is to focus on what I refer to as the community of entrepreneurs, and I will qualify my point. Community of entrepreneurs, one, two, cooperatives. on the point of individual entrepreneurs is that one of the constraints which the NYDA has encountered is that it has funded entrepreneurs isolation. You fund an entrepreneur, they are going to source some material somewhere else, whereas they have sourced it from another entrepreneur who was assisted by the NYDA. When you create a community of entrepreneurs, you create the possibility for whoever is funded as an entrepreneur to be self-sufficient, but also to source whatever they are going to use from any other person who has been assisted. And by so doing, we're going to be able to quantify and check progress instead of finding one entrepreneur who is going to source some material from either a well-established corporate entity and then it goes. So once you create a community of entrepreneurs, you are making it possible for young people to control the entire value chain. You don't have finance, you're going to buy somewhere else and money situated somewhere else, not amongst yourselves. And that we can think the question of, let's say NYDA funds one entrepreneur in KZN, where I come from. Then we have a that, okay, we are funding you on questions of probably we have funded another entrepreneur in, let's say, Northwest, whom you can source your equipment from. By so doing, you are creating a community of entrepreneurs instead of creating basically creating a fiscal burden on the NYDA, everyone else. And the entire process is to create self-sufficient entrepreneurs who source items from one another. And that is what we fail to do. On the question of cooperative, this is money which is used on cooperatives. And it will assist this way. The notion of sufficiency again comes. You lessen the burden of the National Youth Development Agency and if so far you lessen the burden of national treasury where money comes from to say this self-sufficiency is going to make it possible for capacity building for cooperatives, but also to generate their own capacity where NYDA will be overseeing many of these activities to source things on their own, to coordinate and to share knowledge amongst themselves. And that's how the finances of the NYDA and obviously the finances of the nation are going to be responsive to problems of young people, so that you don't always run and always take out a clarion call for more finance. And that is another problem, because the NYDA has been turned into a finance agency instead of a development agency. But by shifting away from isolated funding mechanisms and creating a coherent mechanism, we're going to say in the short run, there will never be a cry for more funding, whereas results are not seen. Because one is funded, few months down the line, they are nowhere to be seen. They go where? Back to employment. And then it becomes a counterproductive measure. Thanks.
Honorable, I wanted to make a follow-up, but you can ask the question.
Thanks, Chair. I'm actually also going to do a follow-up on your original question, if you will allow me. Thank you, Mr. Sikake, on the act. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Mr. Sikake, you had said in your response to the chairperson's question on the amendment of the act and what you would feel needs to be amended. Yes. And your response was that you feel that the act only provides for entrepreneurs and not okay. for other sectors of society like literature and the arts. And so in looking at the NYDA Act, I want to take you to Section 3, Section 8. And the last section that I also think is important here is section 18.
Okay.
So when you look at those particular sections of the NYDA Act, they actually do not prescribe how the organization or how the entity should spend its money and what sectors it needs to spend. So I wanted to just ask for clarity. Are you saying that the amendment to the NYDA Act must be that it must focus on all sectors, because there's no reference as to what the NYDA is?
Okay. Can I respond? Ne? Exactly. I think there is a, you know, the problem, once there is either a policy or a legislative ambiguity, anything goes. You get the point? So once there is clarity in the Act, we provide specifics which are not going to be dependent on the discretion of the board members, but which are going to be element. It makes it possible, one, to make the accountability mechanism of the board members possible, but also to track them on specifics that are quantifiable and that can be, you know, that can be located in the Act. So you are correct in saying it has to specify, it doesn't have to be generic. Because in the context of being general, ambiguities prevail. And when ambiguities prevail, anything can happen. And anyone can always seek solace in abstractions and general policy frameworks.
Chair, just quickly before we continue, So I just want to give clarity here, because you are speaking about ambiguities and that may exist within the Act.
Yes.
The Act itself is speaking to the regulations that the NYDA should be governed by, rather than what the NYDA's program should be.
Okay.
It must be a distinction.
Okay. To. Yes.
And so when you speak about sectors that need to be focused on, that is the role of an annual plan, for example.
Okay. Yes.
When the NYDA decides what are the sectors that we are going to be able to work on.
Okay.
But the Act itself, to include something like that, would not make sense. In my view, I don't know.
Yeah. No. I think. Thanks for posing that question and for seeking clarity. You know, the purpose of the Act is to offer a guiding framework, but it should make it possible for policy maneuvers so that the Act or whatever it validates and legitimizes, it's responsive to what has to happen as far as youth development is concerned. I think we're on the same page. We may be wording it in a different manner. So once we have an Act, that Act must make it possible for certain things to occur. And in this case, we are being specific in a sense of youth development that can be provided by the Act. Ambiguity, yes.
Sure, yes, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Sikake, I want to describe your understanding of the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention.
Okay.
If you can describe for us your understanding.
Okay. Thanks very much. I think you are asking a very important question. This question a prompt expression, particularly in the State of the Nation Address, in relation to the key priorities on youth development. And one specific item that I can refer to is the Youth Employment Service, which is part of those priorities. So the understanding is that it is part and parcel of mainstreaming youth development into every sector of society, access to employment opportunities, access to labor market. but particularly access that is going to be responsive to young people's developmental challenges. So basically, it is part and parcel of what the president spoke about, State of the Nation Address, which has to find expression in almost every sector of society, even in government. So basically, that's it.
I may make a follow-up on the same question. How, if you are appointed as a board member, how are you going to assist NYDA, Department of Youth, Women, of women, youth, and persons with disability in collaborating all those interventions or programs together so that it may produce desired outcomes.
Yeah. One of the most important thing that has ever happened in the trajectory of human of youth development has been youth employment accords. We need to work on youth employment accords, which can happen between the NYDA and departments, as well as with the private sector. We need to say this is the line of march. This is what is finds expression in the National Youth Development Policy. Of course, it's under review. This is what finds expression in the National Youth Development Agency, and this is what finds expression in the state of the nation address. We hammer accords on the basis of that, but also continued assessment over time. And we can have targets to say on a quarterly basis, we will evaluate as to whether these accords are making an impact or not, or on whatever basis we can agree on. But youth employment accords are very important to monitor the progress, but also to institutionalize youth development-based programs that will have to come about as a result of all these youth development imperatives that are outlined in all these documents.
Okay. Honorable Makaula?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable,
Honorable.
Yeah. Thank you for welcome.
Yeah. No, I'm a mbuzo juzo wa mpushana. Kona lana oveze kona uguti otinte koni ad. Nama entertainment the youth.
Yes.
Bemfuna ukwazi ukuthi njengoba iyouth la eSouth Africa iningi layo igcine singene shi kwidakamizwa lelo ngeke siye ukuthi repeat kwidakamizwa nasetshwaleni iuvanze nyafa nyarisho wena yini ongayisiza ngayo ngoba ekugcineni bagcina sebesuka le mhlambe especially province ya ko KZN befuduka uthonto beze goal mabe namatalent yini osithembisa yona ukuthi kulama province wonke if mangabe wena uyakhetha uyangena kule board uzokwenza show ukuthi youth lena enamatalent uyakwazi ukuthi nayo uyitholele iminyango yokuthi ikwazi ukuthi egcine nayo isingabaculi angababaculi angababadansi noma ama-poet ngoba into esiyitholayo baze bafe laba bantu ekugcineni ukuthi masuthi yalandela ayikho into bebeyithola bebengathuthuki koze ashintshe indawo mhlawumbe uyoza umuntu usezowaya ngisho kuphesheya wena-ke uma ungena kule kuleli bhodi yini osithembisayo ukuthi intsha yethu yala eSouth Africa ekhubazekile nabakhubazekile banawo amatalente iyouth nje idlala ibhola iningi mhlawumbe nje ukuthi uphume eKZN uyubone nalapha mangoJune 16 eNanda New Township kuba nenqwaba yama abantu abasuke bezobukela ibhola yini ongayenza ukuthi laba abantu abadlala ibhola iyouth yakhona siyibone nayo isivelele emabholeni abadansayo kanjalo sibabona bephumelela uma ungasitshela lokhu siqedile ngoba nesikhathele ukuthi labo fish abakhulu sibabona bedla abancane yini ozosiza ngayo ubalekelele bayeke ukugxila eyida kwamezweni because ukuthi abanayo into abayenzayo kuyabonga
siyabonga mamkhawula ngalo mbuzo obuzile kubaluleke kakhulu you know that is why in my introduction I spoke about broadening the notion of youth development because we believe that youth development is about finance based. Youth development includes so many things. In fact, it's a psychological, emotional, spiritual, and cultural reality. It's very broad, it's comprehensive. Now, what we can do is that all throughout the country, we have youth clubs. We have young people who are already organized. We have Ipupo in Joburg. We have Sounds of the South in Cape Town. We have many, many, many youth art and literature initiatives and organizations that are already in existence. The only thing we need to do is to prioritize them. And how do you prioritize them? We lobby and advocate for access to theaters. These young people who are in art and literature can't access theaters. And some don't even need money, by the way. They just need equipment, saxophones, flutes, guitar. So it's not a question of money sometimes. It's a question of giving them space. If we say, for example, Playhouse, a center, and Stevens and Abadu a center, we say, look, NYJ, young people who are organized in an art and literature form are going to get access to these things. While you are in Soweto, young people should not be expected to pay exorbitant fees to access Soweto theater. Why?
Young people
who are writers, who are authors, who are writing in our own languages, there is no reason for us now to have Shakespeare and Conrad, proponent of colonialism, filling up our libraries. So we have the young All right. It's not like we're going to unearth and go to do all those things. We can use those people to say, look, because some of these skills that you are referring to, it is not because of lack of talent. It is lack of access to spaces that are needed. And sometimes not because of finance. We just need to showcase our talent. We mobilize money, we buy guitar, we buy all these things. They are fine. That is the only effect. If there is any other sector among the youth population that can organize young people without any hesitation, is the art and literature aspect of our society. I have attended so many shows at the center, at the Soweto Theater, Joburg Theater, in Cape Town. They come without any demand. They just want access to say, these are the must democratize so that they get access to them. By so doing, you will see even the young boys and girls will be able to showcase their talent. Thank you.
So, the manner in which you are presenting your response to the question of Maam Kaula, the manner in which you are explaining to us, can that assist in promoting social cohesion?
Very much. Because social cohesion is not a matter of protocols or declaration. It's a matter of creating programs that are going to showcase that we are human beings with the ability to express our own talents. So we must not fit young people into one category. If you are a singer, we allow you space to express yourself. If you are a writer, an author, I can tell you, there is evidence that there are young people who are sitting with their novels and manuscripts, they are gathering dust, written in our own vernacular languages. So I thought it's easy to say, look, out of your talent, instead of saying social question, abstractly, we can say, look, out of your talent, this is how we can contribute you, and we are society. In my story, we built youth development institutions, not out of declarations, protocols coming from above, but on the basis of what young people like people off. And by so, social cohesion won't be that less. In fact, the way that social cohesion is taken from our vocabulary, but the way social cohesion in practice, instead of talking about it and not seeing it, it is better to see it and not talk about it. Thanks.
Okay.
Angaze ngibe ne follow up question.
Yeah, ma'am, come on, you can follow up because this was a question I was making follow up on.
Sheferson, angisho ukuthi kunjani, but kunento lana mhlambe oyijoyele othola ukuthi iingane zizegcina sezi abuseka. Especially lezi zamantombazane ngenxa yamathalenti azo. Uthole ukuthi umuntu lo okulowo mnyango onalezo emalini ukuthi uyithole kanjani, noma kusuke kuyiyona NYDA ikhiphile, kodwa kuthole ukuthi lo muntu ingane nethalente ifika nayo lezi zinto esizenzile, yena ithathe aze agcine sekuba umuntu wakhe alale naye, hhayi ngoba elala naye sinamakhesi abaningi kule zinto zokudlala KZN ama-culture amaningi. Yingakho ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi ma ngabe ngempela siyakuthatha-ke uyangena kule yini uzoyenza ukuthi kula ma-province sengiyeka-ke KZN kula ma-province wonke, province wonke, ngoba ma ubheka kula ma-province wonke engathi aphumelele i-Johannesburg nezimpoko esiwibona manje siqala ukuvela. Nizokwenza kanjani? Uzosilekelela kanjani la ma-province wonke nawo? Siwabone ama-artist akhona abe ushaya ingoma ngabe kwenzani? Ngoba nje kusho indaba enyawupe. Inyawupe inkinga ilele lapho ngoba iy'ngane zinakho ukuthi ziyakwazi ukubhala, zikwazi ukwenza into. Even labantu abenza ikhayini abaalokhuzane ziningi izinto ezikhona zamathalenta kubona, kodwa manje kumele ugcina bengasakwazi ukuthi bazokwenza. Kufuneka bezasuke eze la iJoburg. La iJoburg kufuneka ma izolala kuthola umuntu ozolala naye ahlale. Yini wena uqiniseka ngayo ukuthi la ma-province wonke uzowalekela? Ngoba phela iJoburg uredi akekho ngazi ukuthi ma ufuna nje ukuphumelela ngokwezomculo shona eJoburg. Ilimpopo iyavela manje, vela manje manje. Ngiyabonga.
Yes. Thank you very much. I think your question adds more value to what we have already said, and we need to come up with countermeasures of likely to hinder our development logic. One of the things that we need to do is to sensitize youth development issues. This is what the National Youth Development Board will have to do, is to say we must prove our mental in the battlefield. If we are saying we are for young people, and particularly that which appears also in the National Youth Development Act, which is a gender-inclusive approach to development. And this inclusive approach includes questions of sensitivity and also includes questions of knowing what kind of constituency are we servicing, the LGBTIQ community and all those things. So it includes all those. So we say, if we go to the ground, this is what we need to open our ears against in defense of the national, of the youth development process, which we have committed ourselves to. And also, we must really be open about the abuses of women, particularly in of people who claim to offer opportunities for them. So this then calls into question the idea of moral integrity of the board members of a National Youth Development Agency. If then we cannot if our cause for development cannot more extend the test, then we may as well close shop. And we must ensure that where NYDA is, either in the form of satellite offices, we're able to pick up these things and to say, this is what we represent, and this cannot happen in our presence. That is what we can do. And therefore, that is part of strengthening youth development institutions, because the cases that you're talking about, I cannot lie, I know for sure they are happening, and they are leading depression, mental related illnesses for young people who are talented and they end up giving up. Thanks.
Yeah. Honorable Masiko.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, Mr. Sikake. Mr. Sikake, I think you would generally agree with me when I'm saying that we are living under the new normal.
Yeah.
In your view, what are the challenges that are faced by young people during the era of COVID-19?
Okay. Thanks very much, Honorable Masik. To shoot straight,
young people
who are semi-skilled and are skilled are hardest hit, because of this pandemic. The other impact is that young people who are in rural areas do not have access to what we have access to in the urban areas, in the cities. They cannot have access to Wi-Fi, they don't have internet, they don't have, so there's no movement, there's no communication. So these are the challenges that we are facing. So what we need to do, take advantage of technology. How do we take advantage of technology? We create digital villages. Digital villages is to say, in every community, there must be a digital village that helps young people to create effective where applications are developed, software development, and the capacity for connection. But also, the NYDA, having the capacity to lobby, it must lobby ICASA to say, look, ICASA recently talked about access to broadband spectrum during this COVID-19. Temporarily. Lobby to say, look, what you have offered us during this pandemic must continue, because it enables access to every young person in rural areas, townships, and that is the only way we can be able to tap into the potential of young people and, of course, for their own development. Thanks very much.
Honorable Mfiti, you want to do a follow-up?
Okay, it's not a follow-up, it's my own question, because my previous one was a follow-up to your question. Mr. Sikake,
let's check my Masiko first, whether it is done with...
apologies. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, fine. Oh, okay. No follow-up, ne? Okay, Honorable MPT.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my question, Mr. Sikake, is related to just your experience. I see that you served as the spokesperson of the Young Communist League. And so my question is, there's a particular ideological subscription that I would imagine you would have, having served as a spokesperson of the Communist League. And so my question is, when it comes to youth development, particularly when we look at the economy, what views are you going to bring should you be appointed to the board when it comes to an economic approach to providing young people with opportunities in South Africa?
Okay. No.
Repeat your question again.
Chair, my question is, noting the fact that Mr. Sikake is coming from serving as the spokesperson of the Young Communist League.
Okay.
I'm asking from an ideological standpoint, when looking at economic measures to assist young people in this country, what ideological framework will you be bringing to the board, particularly to economic opportunities and lobbying government as well as the private sector on matters of economic opportunities for young people, ideologically speaking?
Thanks. Comrade Mpeti, it's I'm going to give you an ideologically satisfactory answer. I'm not sure. Which is in line with industrial policy action plan. In terms of economically, I am going to push for the implementation of the industrial policy action plan. Why? Because it is labor absorptive. And therefore, if it is labor absorptive, it will reduce the levels of employment that we have as young people. But the other thing that we are going to consider, and I'm happy you're talking about the economy, is that there must be fairness and transparency in the capitalist, in the capital markets, in a sense. In a sense that young entrepreneurs, for example, as opposed to raising money through traditional finance institutions, which get money from treasury itself, raise money through capital markets. That is where you go for what is called initial public offering. Once you go to initial public offering when you own a company, the share value of your company is evaluated, it's assessed in order to be informed. People who assess the share value of your company, truth be spoken, are white males. Then if they devalue the share value of your company assets, then you are under siege because you are not going to be able to continue or to sustain your project. So what we need to do is that capital markets are a thing that is happening now where money is raised. So it has to be transformed, it has to be made transparent and accessible to everyone else. Lastly, it is the question of closing the pay gap between black people and white people. Closing the gap between women and men is still a major problem that we face. That is what to do. As to whether that answer is ideologically satisfactory, but I am talking about what finds expression in the NDP as far as the notion of inclusive economy is concerned. And I'm also talking about what finds expression in the National Youth Development Agency Act. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Let me make the question more simpler. Will you, as an appointed board member of the NYDA, advocate for communist policies on the NYDA board? Yes or no?
No, but that's an unfair question of honestly. I don't come as a missionary to the National Youth Development Agency. I come as a young person with a contribution in accordance with the existing policy and legislative framework. I'm not going to put anything. So the question of yes or no basically is unfair to me. I'm saying to you, me and you as an honorable member, I'm sure you know there is a policy, there is a goal of new growth path there in the end. I'm giving you an example of the industrial policy action plan. The industrial policy action plan, the first one, failed. We will discuss reasons why it failed at some other point. The industrial policy action two, the one that we're working on. I'm saying to you, we can use industrial policy for productive activities in the economy that are going to be labor absorptive. Then as to how to find this ideological, but I'm saying I'm giving you what is there, what does not solid to me, but is there in policy document, it finds expression. And the other thing, I have worked with a lot of young people who are ideologically heterogeneous. I have worked in society information, which are committed to development. So who will tell you that no, the color of the cat is not lost as long as the cat is mine, as long as we develop young people? Fine. So the issue of teaching to prescribe ideological paradigms, which make it difficult for us even to realize certain things which are contained in these policies and documents, is a bit unfair, Honorable.
But I have to be given the opportunity to clarify my point. I have a right as a member of the community to ask my point and to get the clarification that I
need. No, Chairperson.
I have the right, Chair, to ask my point and my question and get clarification.
No.
Honorable members, I think Honorable Pinky asked a question, and then you ask again a follow-up question. So it will be unfair for me not to give other members an opportunity to ask questions.
Clarified, he has said that it's unfair, so I need to explain that, because you cannot leave that on record without explanation.
No.
I have to be given that point, because now it's on record. And it has to be clarified.
It's dialoguing.
It's not a dialogue.
It is.
Honorable Matigo, what were you saying?
Wait,
Honorable Members. I'm giving. Okay.
It must be clarified.
I want to hear what is Honorable Matigo saying.
We had set out rules of engagement. We said that each member will be asking a question for 2 minutes. We said that each member is entitled to a follow-up question. And we said that each member having asked that follow-up question will be 2 minutes. Each member will not engage in dialogue with a candidate. Now, Honorable Mpithi has engaged in numerous follow-up questions with this individual candidate numerous times, and we have kept quiet. Now he is engaging in dialogue. That person can protect the candidate.
The candidate protected? Yes. Honorable Jabri?
Chairperson?
Let's allow to ask his question. And wait, this is another member who wants to ask a question. They can ask that question and then answer it. But we will go to this. At least, I don't know.
Honorable Bacha.
Chairperson, before Honorable Bacha,
for the whole day if member. And I see no reason if there's a point that it wants to raise to the member. He must be allowed to raise it. Because I don't see why we should be blocking him from raising an issue that is raised. Because I think that for me, it's more about engagement that is happening between the two of them. And I think that the only thing that Chair you can do now is to give it the last chance that he wants to make a point to the member. I don't think that kind of cuts off the member from consideration. I think just engagement that is happening between the two of them, which we are all interested in. But I don't think it kind of kicks him off the entire program. So I would suggest what you propose, that you allow him to raise the point that you want to raise, and then we move on.
It's a dialogue.
Okay, Honorable Members, rather than us debating for the whole night, Honorable Mpithi, you've got 50 seconds.
Thank you very much, Chair. The question is fair because if I had worked at an anti-abortion agency and it was my history, Mr. Sikake, and I had now applied for a new job, and I think it would be a fair question to ask that candidate, is your view an anti-abortion view because you have worked there? And it's not to put you in a corner, but it's to receive clarity whether that view it's something that you are continuing or that you believe in because you've represented an organization. And so it is okay to say, if you've represented a communist organization or an organization that has a particular ideological framework, would you continue to advocate that particular ideological framework going forward on this particular board? That's all I'm asking. Based on your own experience, because you served in the Communist League based on experience.
Time is up.
TV that we are considering.
Time is up, Mr. Sikake.
Can I humbly and quickly respond? It actually surprises me because in the introduction, I spoke about my participation in many youth structures. And I'm not apologetic to have participated in the Young Communist League, in Center for Civil Society at UKZN, Society of Commons, Ubuntu Babasha, Ipupo, and all those things. But I'm saying we must distinguish between you wanting an answer or you wanting a specific answer. I'm giving you a broader framework. I'm saying I'm not a missionary. I'm a young people. I'm a young person committed to the development of young people. I'm giving you a framework. Mulaudi Sekake won't come with an overhaul, messianic figure coming to overhaul the entire policy framework and legislative framework. I'm saying to you, this is what we have, and this is what our developmental trajectory will have to accord with. And I'm giving you examples. I'm moving away from abstraction. Specific examples. What? Industrial Policy Action Plan. At a level of abstraction, I answered you. I'm running away from abstraction. I'm giving you a programmatic answer. Then you can use Industrial Policy Action Plan, which is labor absorbed. You asked about economic policy. And I gave you of capital markets. I do not want to expand more because of time. But there's a lot that you said. I really don't know why do you want to prescribe so that now the entire vibes and dynamics I reflected in my introduction is now going to tone down. Just one and one aspect which on its own cannot fulfill the developmental imperatives, which find expression in the documents that you are supposed to embody and amplify. Thanks, Chair.
No, you have answered. The only thing is that's why I wanted to give you a chance. I wanted Pete to ask you because in terms of the way you have answered, in terms of the framework that is there, policies that are there, and you even went into detail to say there's no way that you will come from outside and introduce things that are not there because there is an NDP policy that is guiding the program of government on how...
scientific figure.
So I was listening to you. So that's why I wanted MPT to ask you the question so that you can repeat what you have said. Thank you very much. Let's go to another. I think we're done, honourable members. Yeah. It's fair enough. With all the questions that we posed to you, I think it's fair. We have made follow-up questions.
Many.
And you have answered us. And honourable chair, do you want to say something?
Thank you, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Killian, you want to say something?
Chairperson, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes.
Am I audible, Chairperson?
What are you welcome? What is the chair saying now?
Chairperson, let me take the opportunity to thank Mr. Sikake for... Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sir, can you hear me? Can you hear me that type, Chairperson?
We are Muslim.
Chair, I can't even hear you. You see, now I'm talking with my baritone voice.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Chairperson. I just want to thank Mr. Sikake for the very insightful interview. And I want to thank him for honoring the invitation and to wish him well. And Chairperson, I just hope that you won't have a repeat of what happened now. And let me also say thank you to all our members for the question.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Mr. Sikake. Have a good evening. We wish you well. Enjoy your travel.
One thing.
Okay.
Which I could not say in my presentation because of time.
How
is the committee going to assist National Youth Development Agency in terms of patent rights? Because I think now all of us are aware. The battle for IR is around patent. Companies are filing patent portfolios. Meaning whatever innovation or invention we do technologically is likely to be patented by big companies which are going to commercialize and license it to our. Portfolio committee is going to be part of any call to reform the South African patent legislation.
Can I get a response from honorable members? I've been responding to most of the questions from the candidates.
Thanks, Chairperson. The question of patents and intellectual properties it's a very dicey one.
Yeah.
You may also know that some of the things that we call ours are actually not ours.
Exactly.
Some of the plants that grow in this country and that we use as our indigenous food, they're actually patented by other countries, by other people who are not actually South African.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the same happens with things like rooibos tea.
Rooibos tea, yeah.
And many other things. So there is need, for instance, by trade and industry to look into those. Look what the French did with the champagne. We don't have what is called champagne in South Africa.
Yeah.
You can't make anything, even if it tastes like champagne or champagne, you can't call it champagne if it's made in South Africa.
Exactly.
You can only call it sparkling wine.
What? Yeah.
Because it's patented,
right.
It can only be used by the French. If you produce it under their license, I need to be corrected in some of these things. But there are lots of things related to patents and intellectual properties,
including
that are
quite
a challenge in this country. And if we don't deal with them,
we'll
end up being a country that produces things, our things, but paying other people.
Exactly.
We cook our pap, but to call it pap, we need to get any license from Americans. Maybe we should call it porridge and not pap. So I'm just saying, this is just, you know, but I'm saying we
it is an important but we need to repay it too.
Yeah.
We need to repay it to relevant portfolios. It doesn't belong to this portfolio.
Okay, yes, need to know.
So DTI is
development and other
Department of Trade and Industry.
With them, you know, we could work out those. Thanks for now.
Thank you very much. That means you have given us the homework.
Thanks, Chair.
As honourable members, to look at that. We are going to finish with our interviews on Friday.
Okay.
And then we'll be deliberating on our report next week. And then we'll then go present our report to the House. In fact, both Houses, NSOP and the National Assembly. And thereafter, those recommendations will be taken to the President, because the President is the one that appoints board members.
Okay.
And I'm sure you know that after we have passed, we have adopted and voted for our report, and then the Speaker will then take the report to the President, and the President will then appoint. And so that's where all successful candidates will know that they are being appointed.
Okay.
So it's another process.
Okay.
And then...